Now that I'm the matriarch and my mother died, when I'm carrying everybody in my energy field and worrying about everybody, says I cannot lose weight for the life of me. I said, of course not. I said, you're carrying your family around. You're the size of Tucson. So your subconscious is saying, eat for the size of Tucson or you will die. You're carrying everybody. And I believe the thyroid slows down to compensate. Jim Kowal has a case where the pancreas, in one of his multiple personality clients, I told you this story, but the pancreas changed its insulin production based on the personality. In one personality, she was diabetic and they were about to give her insulin because her blood sugar was crazy. When he got the host to come back and stay in the room for about 45 minutes and they blood tested her again, her blood was totally normal. She did not require insulin. So Jim Kowal has this in his dissertation. So I believe thyroid for me sped up, changed when I did the reframe, like, oh, I don't need to eat as much. I can do water fasting. It like really has been helpful. And so I think your thyroid changes based on your states of consciousness. So if you want to throw in the food loss, weight loss thing, okay, how much of that pile is left that is really yours? How much food do you need to eat if you're only eating for that size pile? Then I'll say, then picture your body, how your body will change over the next 3 months, 6 months, a year. If you're only eating for your little pile, what color do you see around the updated body image? Run the updated body image color and say, this is who I am when I'm not eating for the entire tribe or the whole planet. And then say, don't be surprised if your appetite is less at supper tonight or that your metabolism is sped up. So that's the metabolism weight adjustment technique for weight loss, energetic weight loss. You're dieting the emotional body, not the physical body. With this technique, you're energetically dieting the emotional body by putting in the missing colors, and you'll always get lighter. That's why people always say I'm lighter. So anyway, for level two, you could do stress. I do stress, like everybody's been stressed out. So you could easily do a very nice level two demo and say, let's do, it's kind of a first step, especially with addictions and people that have done first step, they'll get it. They're like, oh, I tell them, this is the visual experience of the first step where we admitted we were powerless. You know, we release, let go of what isn't ours, and we only accept and take back and run colors through with, you know, what we can manage and can heal. So I don't know if that helps, but that's the level.
I love doing the pile of the stress of 2020. I mean, it's a balance workshop. It's all about balance and
there you go.
Eating the trauma. But perfect. I love what you just told me about the weight loss, because I have probably six clients that I see one in my office that would benefit from that. So that's
yeah, cool. And they'll just get it like, oh, and if you need it, if they're individual scenes where you're still locked in, you're still going to feel the heaviness of the level ones. We did a level two, but don't get discouraged because when the individual memories come up, they're going to feel heavy again, and then they're going to start eating again if you haven't reframed the level ones. So you can say you might need to do some individual work on the level ones, on those memories, or work with me, and I'll do some of that with you when you have opportunity. So don't be discouraged if some of the individual abuse scenes try, like sexual abuse. The black hole created by sexual abuse in the pelvic region or stomach more commonly, they don't know what the sex thing is. So it's always in the tummy that I feel creepy and gross from the man touching me. The black hole is in the solar plexus. For the anorexic with the perfect perfectionistic mother, the singularity, the black hole is in the solar plexus. And so wherever they feel that void, that energy, you know, is where you put in. So the way, how do you diet a black hole? You don't take things out of it. To heal the electromagnetic field weight issue, you add the missing colors and you get lighter. So it's the reverse physics, right? The more colors you ingest, the lighter you get. So we probably should be eating more colors and less food. Ultimately, we all need to be meditating and ingesting more color and doing less food, and we'd all be fine.
This is Jeanette. Can I interrupt for just one second?
Sure.
I'm going to have to apologize to everybody because in my less than well state, I forgot to turn the recording on. So I've got it recording now. And I do know that Mary gave us some really good information about medications. Mm-hmm. If you guys want, if there's something.
Well, I think Mary's going to compile an article for us. I'm going to write the article. And then once she does that, then she can review that with us, and we'll record that also.
No problem, Mary. But anyway, if there's something you want Brent to repeat, please feel free to ask, because I have the recording on now. And I'm sorry, my brain is not all here right now. So well, anyway, that's okay. The recording is working now. If you really had something, if he said something earlier, you wanted him to repeat, feel free to ask him to repeat it. So
I think we're okay. You know, the article has a lot of my thoughts in it anyway. You'll figure it out from the article that's there. And the interview is 2 hours long. So that covers a lot of what I talked about at the beginning anyway. So some of it anyway. Thanks. That's okay. Okay, Beth, so we're good. You got some things to go on. All right, cool. Other questions? What time are we? I have no idea what time we are. Okay, we got another 20 minutes or so, 25 minutes. Anything else coming up, Bill?
Yeah, I have a question. I don't think I've asked this one about, I wrote it down a month or so ago, that I've worked with a woman with severe emotional neglect in her growing up, and she, you know, gave up and just did the go along with everybody else thing. When we were doing HMR, she said that it was very calming for her, but she had no body discomfort. Wondered, she said she had memories of feeling empty in her solar plexus, but she wasn't feeling it then, and just not much memories at all. I wonder if she was dissociated or what, but I don't know. I wasn't quite sure how to get underneath the even fact that there's no body discomfort. I think we probably worked with level 2 type things. I'm sure we did. I forget, but
well, that numbness in the body, that lack of body data, can be a couple of things. Now, one thing you said was very interesting, that her traumas tend to be less, like, I didn't really have anybody beat me, hit me, whack. I think I got hit with a golf club and a piece of asphalt, you know, but generally I didn't have a lot of physical traumas, sites in my body as a child. I think most of the time it would have been a vacuum, a void, a heaviness from a lack of something. The densest energy in the universe isn't an overt, physically violent act. It's a complete deprivation. So you will have clients that their traumas are level 2 and they're very subtle. And they can be like an emptiness or a heaviness or just a tightness in an area without it being very strongly articulated or very physical. Now, everything occurred while we're in the body, but I think it sounds like she's more of a person that was deprived and neglected than she was overtly abused. A lot of them, parents thought they did a good job. I had people this week, oh yeah, my parents are very nice. Did they give hugs and say, I love you? Oh no, they didn't do that. And I'm like, but then the next line will be what? But I knew that I was loved. I knew that they loved me and cared about me. I said, but they didn't give hugs or say, I love you. No, I don't remember any of that. How about you? Well, I'm a little better than they are. You know, I do give more hugs, and I kind of taught my parents to give hugs and say, I love you later in life. But, you know, so there are subtle traumas that come up for people. And when I was thinking about anxiety, but people with panic attacks, OCD, certain tics, that what you're going to see, and you're kind of getting a handle on now, Bill, is it's not what they're saying that's missing. It's when you take the history and you keep listening, they talk about their mother or somebody being, or their dad being drunk so much of the time. What's missing? Like, what was your mother doing during? Oh, she just kowtowed to dad. She didn't really show up. Now, when you scan the body, you'll feel the overt trauma from the denser, more aggressive parent. And when you go to the other side to scan for the female element, it's just lightly cool. It's not very warm. It's not overt. It's not real blatant or anything, but you're like, wow, your mom, I'm not getting a lot of warmth. Oh no, she and I got along and she did what she could to protect us, but she had a tough childhood too. And she kowtowed to daddy. And I said, did she stand? Oh no, she didn't really stand up much for us too much. Some did, some didn't, but it'll still, to the degree that they didn't stand up, it'll be kind of cool over the female part of the heart and the meridians. So a lot of times it's the overt perpetrator and the background codependent, not protecting perpetrator. and the mother doesn't stand up or doesn't say anything or doesn't act or doesn't divorce the husband, even though he's cheating and doing all this stuff, she's just going to make it all okay and be a nice mom and be loving. And there's a trauma there, because I'm like, is the mother somebody you could really run to? And it'll be conflicting answers on that. Is the mother somebody you could run to and talk to about your problems? That's how you get a feel for it. Was mother somebody you could talk to about things? Oh, no, not really. She didn't really do strong emotions. She just wanted every, and a lot of families are like that. They just wanted everything to be nice. We don't do anger and rage and sadness. We don't do strong feelings in our family. Yeah. Like, so what did you do? So you'll find they have psoriasis. So you'll find they have, it's caught on the outside of their body. There'll be skin things, you know, like there's not really anyone to release the energy. So it might be trapped just under the surface, like a fibromyalgia thing or something like that, inflammation in the body. So where did all your frustration and anger go when there was nobody to share it with? Where does that go in the body somatically? I want you to start to think about the body as the memory repository on a somatic level for whatever energies are unfinished. If there's no outlet and these parents are not there for you and they don't talk about feelings, well, when you're angry, sad, fearful, where does all that go? Where did that go in your body? And that's what you're going to see find coming up with aches and pains and these different tension sites in the bodies. They're very directly correlated to memories. And you can find out often where that came from in the system. But yeah, so she could be subtle about that. Some people initially, they just really don't want to jump in with any big memories or traumas and things. And so I think the body kind of protects them and they go in very slowly, very gently. But the longer they do it, they do tend to get more color as time progresses. They do tend to see more. They get more visual. Everyone I'm working with now, I'm just going to have to see how it plays out. He has a lot of, he got desperate in his 20s and wanted to die and tried to beg for some energy to make him stop breathing. And we've had some weird things going on when he goes back to those memories. When I was trying to reframe with him, a voice actually came across the computer and a garbled, weird voice and started talking to both of us. And I'm like, you know, you might have invited in something that was really not. He heard it. I heard it at the same moment. It was a blurred voice coming from outside our computer system at the moment we were trying to reframe. And I'm like, you may have something. Let's run some colors to your body. If there's ever concern about, this is a level three discussion about entities or energies around, you invoke Michael and the golden mesh of light, a network of light, to remove any energies not native to the system of your client. And you could just do that as a prayer yourself on their behalf. But I started sending a lot of energy and light into that picture. Because he's like, oh yeah, you know, I can't see color. I'm blocked. Something prevents me from seeing light. And I said, was there a time when you felt that dark? Oh yeah, well, in my 20s, I just tried to make, I begged for an energy to come in and make me stop breathing. And he said, I felt like a black thing appeared above me and started to repress my chest and keep me from breathing. And I'm like, well, we probably need to reframe that, you know, and actually we did that immediately. I'm like, well, we need to reframe that now. And clear that and say, just because that was your intention then, isn't that, that's not who you are now. And brought in light and energy and did some other things with that. But that's a bit of a level three discussion. But he actually got suicidal. And there may still be some kind of a, he believed, I think the problem is his belief system. He believes he sort of went dark at that point, metaphorically and energetically, and blocked out the light and believed that he kind of became defective. And so we're working with that moment. And I said, I don't feel any energies interfering with me directly. I said, but it seems like you believe that something really awful, dark, like an unworthiness, I don't deserve to live. I asked for something to kill me. So maybe something did come in. So we're working with his beliefs about that and seeing what happens. Yeah, so we'll see what the next session brings us. We had to stop, interrupt, because he was having a rough week because of an external trauma that was going on in his business. And so I couldn't really get him to focus correctly this week. We had trouble with that. And there are times when you cut your session short when the client just can't go there. And you're like, you know, you just need to really stop, take care of yourself. Don't push this. You know, let's shorten the session, take care of yourself, work on self-nurturing. And he sent an email back. I said, you know, just take care of yourself. That's fine. And he said, I'm sorry, I really wasn't focused this week. I was kind of in, and his body is in a certain level of pain since his teens. that he can't seem to get rid of. And it may be tied to these memories. So it's a complicated case. We're working on this right now. But, you know, his belief about that, as well as inviting something dark in to try to kill him in his 20s, was not the best moment, you know?
Yeah.
But you don't have a person that goes dark. They don't invoke evil or negativity without the traumatic loss of one or both parents, usually before the age of 10. Some of you have heard me say that when I was working with adolescents at Cottonwood, and they advertised that they work with occult and satanic abuse cases, the 10 children, I think it was 10, no, it's eight. Eight children that I worked with there that were avowed Satanists had all actually experienced a death or traumatic loss of a parent before the age of 10. So what's the real issue? It's not about beliefs in God or Satan or and about Satan. It's the fact that your first higher power is your mommy and your daddy. And if you believe God or something is out there that takes away or kills or makes your parent abusive to you, you feel betrayed by God. And so these are all eight of them were believers. But they were so pissed off at God, they're like, I'm going to show you, watch this. I'm going to carve a pentagram into my arm and burn cigarette marks into me, and I'm going to go worship the dark side. So they actually, I said, you're actually a believer, but you're a really angry believer, and so you went to the other side to express your anger. And I said, but it's not exactly about God, is it? It's about what happened to your mommy and your daddy and your parents before the age of 10. And I said, you know, we are all given the solution to that, by the way, spiritually, is that you and I were given by God the ability to pause consciousness itself until we're ready to heal it. So whatever abuse and trauma that was going to overwhelm you, we have given the quantum God-given ability to pause all perception and the flow of consciousness. And that is a spiritual gift, the ability to pause anything that overwhelms you until you're ready to go back and release yourself. And the limbic, hypothalamic, pituitary, adrenal system, whatever you want to call it, that can pause the flow of consciousness, is it's more than that. It's actually consciousness pause, which we can't even define. But when you can pause the flow of consciousness and stop any overwhelming experience, that's a pretty amazing act. And I said, so the little Satanists, avowed Satanists, I'm like, you're really believers, aren't you? And I said, this is really the sadness you have about losing your daddy or your mommy. And then they'd start crying. And then we'd go in and work with the trauma of the parent, what happened to the parent. And I said, you know, I don't think God interrupts us once free will is set in motion. There's not a God that's going to come in and undo that movement once we're given a certain level of creativity and choice. I said, but there is a God that protected us when it short circuits and is about to kill us, that we are protected from destroying ourselves or letting someone else destroy us. And then coming back at a time when people are sent with techniques like this, and we're sent to try to help you and show you that no matter what happened to mommy and daddy back when, you're a loving, lovable being. You do have beliefs, you have a belief system, and you have choices about that, but you deserve better than what you got. And I said, I've never met a person who couldn't find somewhere inside themselves access to that perfect love. It's just nobody mirrored that to us. Nobody stayed around long enough to communicate that to us. So, you know, when I, you know, sometimes I'll tell them, I was a priest and I used to tell parents, see that the flame of faith is kept alive in the heart of your child because you are your child's first experience of God and higher power. It's not an abstract thing out there. As a little child, your world is so concrete. Your first God is mommy and daddy. And if that God is taken away from you before the age of 10, and some of you are working with, I know she's not here today, one of the psychologists I'm training is very interested in working with occult and occult programming and things of that sort. I said, well, then you need to understand this mechanism, you know, that within each human being, we have that capacity to pause the flow of consciousness, but we also have the frequencies to, it's always been there in the background, to access the white light in order to release that. But we often, those that are abused very young or lost their parents, since shame is a primary affect, once the trauma takes place, they don't remember the moments of wonderful unconditional love unless you look for it, the star child, the brilliant divine child. They have trouble accessing the brilliant, beautiful divine child within them. When the shame is induced, all they see when they look in the mirror, Gershon Kaufman said, shame is a primary affect. Rather than see the illuminated, brilliant, divine being within, they see the shame. And that's our job, is to diminish the shame content and say, oh no. So what I started with today was, what is the vision that you as the practitioner hold? Sometimes you hold the space for the client. You know, when Oliver in the interview that is now on The Natural High, by the way, the 2-hour interview that just came out, that's available. When Oliver said, who do you admire? I was like, I admire. It's kind of like, you know, I go for the Mother Teresa thing. I worked at the Missionaries of Charity in India. Every being is Christ consciousness. Every being is the divine mind. Every being is an aspect of God, of the divine. You know, to be able to see that, recognize that, and put it into practice is the foundation of HMR. Even when they don't believe, and he believes he might have invoked something evil and made himself vulnerable to something dark, I'm like, well, I know that you're a light being and you're here wanting to access that. So I will hold that space for you. I will assist you. And you have the colors. I'm like, oh, you did gold earlier. Let's bring in the golden light, run that through your body to clear anything negative. It went all the way through. I didn't feel any interference when I scanned them, even virtually, which I think I would pick up. And I did not pick up anything actually evil, but his belief at that moment that I was is so damaged that I invoked death and invited something in negative. And then when it came in and started choking him, something actually showed up. Then he got panicked and freaked out and said, get away, and tried to get rid of it, which I think he somewhat succeeded at. But the memory of that event is what's still left. And that may be the foundation of why he has trouble seeing color very easily. He moves it through and it works. But if he's in a very much darker space, it's a lot harder for him to move the colors through when he's not in touch with his nature as a being of light. So this is a little bit of a level 3 kind of a discussion if you're working with some really heavy things. But so I always look to the belief. Does he believe that he's worthy and deserving? We might have to work more on that, you know, and see what that's about. So anyway, that's a couple of things along those lines. Other questions, thoughts about that? Cases? Hi, Miss Karen. Hey, made it. Yay. Both Karens, Vietnam Karen and Karen Lewis. All our Karens. We have a lot of K's here. Okay, we're good. All right. Mr. Dave, how's it going?
Good.
Hey, Oregon has appeared. All right, cool. There are two naturopathic physicians, Debbie C-S-I-E and Justin. What Justin's last name? They just moved to Oregon.
Oh, really?
They are practitioners in HMR, but they need major updating. So anyway, but I'll have to find out the city they're in and send you a link. It'd be good to hook you all up.
Yeah, that'd be great.
So they just moved to Oregon. I think they're trying to escape 5G technology or something. And they figured they can.
Oregon's a good place to do that. So
yeah, that's what they were saying kind of thing. So, okay. Other questions? Anybody else have any other cases, questions? We're almost out of time here. I do a lot of the reparenting. When a lot of this comes up, one thing I'm doing is more and more of the enhanced safe scene, bringing in the safe scene sooner. As soon as I say the clients, like so many wounded, I'm like, you know, while we're creating your beach scene, can we create a nice beach house there? You know, would you like a house at the beach as well? We can. And I said, have you seen the Harry Potter movies? They're like, oh yeah, I've seen Harry Potter. It's like, okay, well, Harry Potter, a tent in Harry Potter can look like a little house, a beautiful house. When you go in, it has unlimited number of amount of space or rooms within it. And I said, so your house, your beach house, is a Harry Potter type house. It can have an unlimited number of rooms for the children. You know, they can have any colors they want in their rooms, the comforters, the beds. And so for people that mention that they're having trouble sleeping or that the trauma happened at night, I'm bringing in the enhanced safe scene sooner and having create a safe sleeping room. So we're creating a safe room for sleeping. And I'm saying the night of tonight at Miraval, whatever, you just take your inner children and you're to check in and sleep in your safe house tonight when you go to bed. And that might bring, also, by the way, I want to mention pet traumatization. I always have them bring their pets and incorporate the deceased pet into the safe scenes. So the pets are alive and well in the safe scene. Okay. So you can go back and, you know, access Mr. Snookles or whatever his name is. You can access him in your safe scene anytime you want and give him a hug and know that he loves you, you know, not a problem. and it's all going to be good. And, you know, so you have animal guides and angels that watch over you. So I check on their spirituality. I say, create that beautiful safe scene and have trouble. And that client did very well with that. The minute they slept inside the safe scene in the safe room in the safe house, you know, they slept very well that night. It's the first time I've been sleeping 8 hours a night since I started doing that. And so if there's trauma, and then look for the traumas at nighttime. What happened? Did dad come home drunk at night? Did he get drunk and come into your bedroom one night and do something? That happens a lot. Got drunk and didn't know where he was. Or while dad's away at military and mom's there, the older brother snuck in and crawled into her bed at night and was being inappropriate. That happens a lot. Somebody crawled into your bed, or somebody sleeping over, or family friend supposed to be babysitting came in and got in bed at night. So a lot of nighttime terrors and traumas. So increase the safe scene. Make sure the safe is a safe bedroom. Safe house, you know, safe colors. And I do that myself. Something during the election conflagration, I was sleeping a lot in my safe house. Of course, I have some on planet and some off planet. So it depends how bad it got, whether I stayed down here or went up there. So we have choices about that. You know, you have to, when you're ever in an airplane at 30,000 feet flying, when the days resume someday, you'll see much brighter colors when you're in the atmosphere above the earth. We're literally congested down here in the brain waves and the 5Gs and the trauma things. We don't have as strong a color access down here as you do at 30,000 feet above the earth. So it gets really bad. You might want to put a little space station up there and check in for every now and then for a retreat, you know, kind of thing. Karen's going to work on getting a retreat center set up in space, and we're going to add that sometime and see what we can do about that.
Excellent.
Controlled dissociation. Yes, let's go above the planet. Okay. Maybe we get Elon Musk, you know. He just put $1.5 billion into Bitcoin this past week. So that's interesting. Yeah, my astrologer told me to put money in cryptocurrency last year, so I did. So things are looking pretty good. We'll be able to fund some research this year. Yes, we're going to be okay. Yeah, amazing what a couple of $1,000 can do if it goes up 600-900%. Works. So anyway, thank you, Jerry, right? Jerry Thomas. Yeah, sure. He was right about that part. So, okay, other questions, things about that? Things in my energy and with the interview stuff, like, no, things are feeling pretty good. We are moving up. The COVID thing is still, yes, hovering over everybody. We're going to deal with this, though. But energy has shifted. Energy has shifted in the last few weeks, particularly. Things are lightening up around us. So be patient, be gentle, kind with yourself. But I can feel them saying it's going to be shifting. And your trauma work will become more important as this. We're going to do some amazing. I can see that things are already coming. There are people wanting to hook us up with different podcasts. This 2-hour podcast with the Natural Hide, the 2-hour interview is available for those that are coming in late. Oliver Denmore. Dinsmore, D-I-N-S-M-O-R-E. It's called The Natural High. And he's publishing the 2-hour interview and the link to our websites. So that will bring in trainees and research interests too, I think, from some very interesting parties. Yeah, his mother is British, you know, he was talking about the British. I did a workshop once in London. And then they took me, the person I was with had married British aristocracy. And this is a funny story. So they took, I mentioned this in the interview. So I said, yes, I said, Oliver, they took me to Leeds Castle and I had lunch with Lady Remington Hobbs in Leeds Castle, who has since she's passed away. But she was in the Maiden's Tower, kind of like the Mistress's Tower of the King in Leeds Castle, where she lived in the Maiden's Tower. And the person I was with wanted me to do some trauma work with her, and she was in her 80s. And her husband had died and her cat had died and she'd lost some other people. I think her dog or cat had died. And when we asked her if she'd like to do a little trauma work, she's like, well, you know, you just keep a stiff upper lip and you get on with it. And that was the end of my attempts at reframing in HMR with the British. You know, it wasn't the English. It wasn't going to happen. Keep a stiff upper lip and you just have to get on with it. So I said, well, I said, Oliver, if your mother's receptive, she has facial pain. His mother, he said, has a lot of facial pain. He says that in the interview. And I was like, oh, I forgot to say, you know, the major trauma site in the body is the face, and the fact that most of our nerve endings, thousands of nerve endings in the face. So the fact that her face has trauma, either it feels like dental stuff or something, I was like, that's not too surprising. Our face is our strongest imprinting site in the whole body. You never hit the face without creating a trauma. And I said, they might've hit a trigeminal nerve or something, and that can take 3 years or something to even subside if it does, you know? So I said, Mary Gaddy could probably tell us about the trigeminal nerve trauma, but I've seen it subside a little bit after about 3 years, but that's a horror for people. We can't do much with that. But anyway, so I said, Oliver, I'd be glad to work on your mother anytime, but he wants to do a session. So we'll see how that goes. So, anyway, stay tuned. We're going to be hitting media big time, and we haven't heard anything back from Bestel, I guess, about the reviews of the videos yet, Karen.
No, I sent him an email update today. I finished his 7-month class today.
Oh, nice.
And okay. Just sent an email and said, you know, what have you heard? And I also had a really wonderful video session that I recorded and sent him about a week or two ago alone, because the first time I sent him lots of data, and it mm-hmm. would take 10 or 12 hours for him to look at all of it.
Right,
Or maybe more, and included the links to your QEEG research and all that. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And so I've just been kind of nudging and interested, but I have not heard anything back yet. And I sent a follow-up email today, so I'll let y'all know.
Cool. Hey, if anybody can do it, you can do it. So I'm confident. We would be glad to put Bessel through training anytime, anywhere for free, anytime he wants to do training. So you're welcome to share that with him. You know, I'd be glad to do that part. So we're going to get out there whether he's on board with us or not. It'd be nice to have him on board, but it's not necessarily required for us to go forward. And Jeanette is setting up the library. So we'll be doing those of you that can record some amazing sessions that are certified. You know, we'll be building quite a library of different practitioners, adding to the HMR library, because there are people throughout the world that will not be able to fly in and do face-to-face training necessarily. But if we do enough recording of these kinds of videos and so on, it won't be required to, you know, to get it correct, to do it face-to-face. I'd still like to keep the healing intensive as a face-to-face requirement. But we're going to try one healing intensive, a Zoom intensive through the Infinity Foundation in July. So I'm going to try a 2-day healing intensive and for a small group and see how that goes. But we'd like to have face-to-face back by the end of the year, once the vaccinations are out and, you know, what do they call it? Herd immunity has increased. Looks like I might have to go to New Mexico to get my vaccine accelerated a little bit here. Arizona is still kind of slow here. What can I say? Maybe we're on Mexican time or something. I don't know what's happening here, but anyway.
Brent, yeah. Normally Bessel, when he gets really interested in a new modality, he wants to experience it personally himself. Mm-hmm. So I expect that to be next, and I'm excited about that. We'll see.
Cool.
We'll see where that goes. And then there's another modality he mentioned recently. The people invited him to come for the weekend and experience it and visit with other people who had benefited from it, so he could ask them specific questions. So that's another thing I think may be on the horizon, which is really exciting.
And that would be good. And if we can set up at some point like a healing intensive in Baton Rouge or something like that, and you'd be glad to host him at your palazzo, you know, that would be lovely. You know, have him come out there and I'd fly in and you could be there. We could both, you know, do some work and demonstrate what we're doing here. And so whatever I can do to assist, you just let me know. Okay.
And I don't know if you mentioned to the group, but it looks like we're going to be able to do some research with veterans at Louisiana State Penitentiary, which is the largest maximum security prison in the United States. And all this coming together this week. So it's
excellent. Yeah, I saw that. So that's great that she's now she's in New Orleans now as the head of the seminary there, or is she the head of the seminary at Angola?
She has her doctorate from New Orleans Seminary, and there is a seminary
in
the prison facility, and she has been asked to write the program for the mentorship for the lifers who have decided they want to help other people stay out of long-term prison. And so she included HMR as a part of that mentorship program, which she wrote. And so she's a chaplain at the penitentiary.
So she's still there. Okay. Yeah. Good. Yeah. So if it's okay with them, I mean, you know, we'll do whatever funding we can do to get it in there and do the research piece. So keep me posted on what we need to do with that. And I'm sure we can find benefactors and people that would support our, I mean, it's the largest prison in the country. When they brought in the Baptist seminary into Angola, because I've been out there twice myself talking to the mentors, you know, and when we did that and spoke to them, their violence rate as a prison went from 80% to 20% after the seminary was put in and they started offering these programs. So it then became like the pilot penitentiary reformed for the whole country. And so we're setting up a new paradigm for treatment of prisoners. And in Louisiana, I don't know if the law is still there, she was working on changing it, but 3 felonies and it's mandatory life imprisonment, I think without parole or something like that. And so there are a lot of lifers there in the 3,000-4,000 person penitentiary. 6,000?
Well, 6, I looked 000. It up on Wikipedia today and I think
It's grown and grown and I have no idea. It was like 4,000 when I looked at it one time, but you know, so they are mandated there for life. So they could do their emotional reframing. They have time on their hands, I believe, to do emotional reframing and to dedicate themselves to healing themselves, you know, which could pay off in the next lifetime if you believe in such, you know. But anyway, getting cleared before you leave your body. And so whatever we can do to get that in motion in place is I will support wholeheartedly. So.
One thing, Mary, just want to make sure that you had gotten the other notes that people left in the chat about the different drugs, medications you'd like to check on.
I have tried to write back to all of you, and unfortunately, it doesn't work. But yes, I'm getting them. So thank you so much.
Okay. All right.
Okay.
Thanks, Mary. Yeah. So Karen, Mary to write an article listing the drugs that interfere and their impacts on HMR. Like I had a client that was on methadone at Miravon. I'm like, I don't even know if any reframe. She's like, probably best avoided. Just don't try to do HMR on an active detoxing methadone client. But we're discussing, and I asked her to investigate CBD, but it looks like it could be okay. We can throw in ayahuasca. Are you familiar with ayahuasca? A lot of people are trying to reach spiritual enlightenment by swallowing ayahuasca. There was even a Tennessee mountain ayahuasca reality show on for a little while where people drank ayahuasca and they filmed them and what they went through. And I'm like, oh my goodness gracious. So it's like blowing the subconscious open with a hand grenade and whoever's on the other side is going to walk through the door. So, and then I ended up reframing with 3 ayahuasca victims this past year when, you know, if you're spiritually fairly grounded and connected, you can have a nice positive experience. If you're not with a person trained to keep you safe and grounded and reframe it with you, then what walks through the door may be a set of perpetrators you have never even imagined. And they can be devastated. And then they don't know how to reconstitute them and reground them. So, you know, those kinds of...
That's very similar to LSD.
Yeah, it blasts the door open. And then once the nerve centers are open, what are we going to do to get them regrounded? Like, so that's been a challenge for several of my clients. They thought they'd have a spiritual healing moment. And what they had was the perpetrators bursting through the door and then they decompensated. So have to be very careful.
Mushrooms too.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah, mushrooms have done that as well. Psilocybin. So we have quite a list, Mary, to check out here. So we might keep you busy for a while here. But I'll hang out after we close here in a couple of minutes and I'll be glad to talk to you, answer some of your questions that Karen might want to hang out for some of that too with that as well. All right. Any other questions? We're going into, I think by the next in March, How many of you are having trouble with the timing of this? Are you having difficulty? I know, Dave, you must be working until later in the day. Are some of you, I know in Arizona, we're starting at 5 o'clock Arizona time. I think in Oregon, it must be 4 o'clock though, your time.
Well, it's the same time as Arizona time. I just ran.
Oh, you're same right now. Okay.
I had a patient that went through a process that Archangel Michael needed to come in and.
Oh, I got you. Okay.
So it took a little bit longer.
No problem.
Yeah.
We don't want to disrupt the Archangels working. You know, we want to stay in tune with them. So that's all good. Heather, I'm getting some of your letters of reference recommendations. Heather, you hear me? Yeah, I'm getting some of your recommendation letters are coming in. So
yeah, just hear me.
I'm having a little trouble.
Bodhi, you're in the background.
Hey, Bodhi.
Oh, that's good. Sorry, we have a storm coming tonight. So can you hear me?
Oh, a little bit. You're kind of breaking. I hear you. Hear the storm
can
come
you hear
through.
Me okay.
Yeah, I can hear you now.
Are you there?
Yep, I'm here. Can you hear me?
Yeah, we have a storm coming in, so it's been really cold.
Uh-oh. Oh, well, stay warm. You don't want you freezing to death. Yeah, I know. Yeah. My friend Michael's in an ice storm right now in Chicago. So like, so stay alive. Stay alive, you know, reframe. Use color. Yeah. Use heaters. The colors aren't going to do it for the ice storm.
Glad you're getting. Yeah,
I'm getting stuff. So we'll talk this week and see where you're at. Okay, we'll update. All right.
Okay.
You're getting closer. So we have 64. Erica got certified this last month in January. So Erica, we have 64 certified practitioners. We're moving up. Keep going. So hang in there. Beth, we're gonna get you certified too. We gotta get you done. I know, really.
Hopefully come on this now. Year.
Yeah, for sure.
Excellent.
Beth's book is out. Is your book accessible online, Beth?
It
also
is on Amazon.
Okay, cool. What's the title?
Beth's Case Scenario.
There you go. See, not best case scenario.
Beth's case scenario.
You can't miss that title. There you go. We look forward to reviewing. I haven't had a chance to get to it, but I've started.
You're credited in the back. So
well,
everyone get the book so you can see how I credit Brent Baum.
I appreciate that. Well,
I appreciate you.
You're good at what you do. So yeah, I look forward to reading that. Yeah, so you know, I'm on page 119 in the Corporate Undertaker. So, you know, we're showing up in various nefarious places, you know, interesting. So, and the Corporate Undertaker is going to be a TV show. So I don't know. I don't think I'm going to be doing any trying to do therapy with General Motors or whatever it is on the TV show. So we'll see how that plays out. He asked me for a corporate lawyer. So I hooked him up with Kobe Bryant's former manager, who once he died, everybody has trauma about that stuff, you know, but she's a delightful lady and was running 12 companies when Kobe died. So, you know, we have our celebrity traumas that are coming through Miraval and things of that sort too. So anyway, any other questions?
Well, I just had one question, Brent.
Sure.
I was working with a patient and I just want to make sure that everything that I did was clear. And so I'll just talk about it very quickly. Basically, what happened is that she went back to when she was five and was in the backyard of a friend. And then they went into the gate into the next door neighbor's yard that was one of those secret garden kind of backyards. Mm-hmm. And then she got there. And as soon as she got in there, she felt swirling. And then it was like a vortex that she was right next to. And then everything went black. And then she went in. And then I started off with the safe scene, of course, before I started everything. And so she stood by the vortex and I asked her how she felt. She said that she felt unsafe. And so I said, well, you know, we can put this vortex into a safe and lock the door and you've got the key and you don't need to open it until you're ready. And then I took her back into her safe scene. And then after she was in her safe scene for a while, I asked her if she was wanting to open up the safe or to do it another time. She said, yes, she wanted to open up her safe. And so she opened up the safe, the vortex appeared. And then what happened was, is that she chose to go down into the vortex. And she went into the vortex and she came out the other side of the vortex, and she ended up back in another job that she had when she was 22. So, and she's, you know, she's 36 now. She's getting ready to have a divorce from her husband because she hated her husband. They've got kids, the whole thing. And then what happened is that, so she went back to her old job, and then she was walking out the path. She was in charge of cabins in the woods, basically, and, you know, cleaning them and all of that. And she came walking out, and then someone that she knew was walking toward her and said, he is dead. And then she didn't realize what was going on. And then all of a sudden, what she recognized is that the man that she was actually engaged to was ice climbing and had fallen and died. And so when she came into that, again, put her into the safe scene, came out of the safe scene, and then asked her, you know, what it was that, how she wanted to redo that. And she said that what she wanted to do is to live out her life with him. And so then what she did is she went through the process of living out her entire life, having children with him, and living out her entire life with him. And so I just wanted to clarify, just to make sure that that I didn't miss anything in there.
I don't think so. There's always the question with solutions. It raises a very interesting possibility. I mean, are we using her subconscious? So I had a woman did the same thing with, I want my child to not be born with spina bifida, and I want my child to then live out her life normally. So she pictured the child not being born with spina bifida. But when she tried to have the child live out her life fully, she's like, oh, the child can't live out her life. You know, she's unable to go forward in time. What's interesting, I've often wondered, what if the client said what your client said, I'd like to live my life with that person and have a happy marriage and picture that in life. I do that with people. Would you like to say, I'd like to my dad not to die when I'm 16 and live a full life with me and spend my life with him and have a wonderful life. I was like, take all the time you need to picture that. Can you picture that? Because we're not really manipulating history. The thing about HMR is it's an alpha theta state. So you're relaxed and know that she knows that she didn't marry the guy, right? But in her mind, she knows there could have been an incredible amount of love and happiness. And maybe there'll be a future lifetime because of that or something, you know, I don't judge that lineage, but, or some type of an experience. But I said, if she wants to picture doing that, it's really anything that the subconscious accepts for her as a viable solution is not going to create a delusion in the alpha state of the conscious mind. She's going to know, like, oh no, I would have loved to have had a wonderful life with him. He was so sweet and kind. I'd like for him to not fall off a cliff and get killed. And picture that, run it through your body, run the colors through. And she would just not be in this constant state of sadness, remorse that she didn't get to find out what would have happened. In her mind, that's creatively satisfied. Now, on a quantum level, are we creating a parallel universe where that actually occurred? Not for me to judge, not for me to say. It's possible that she's actually doing that. Quantum physics says your perception creates a reality. Maybe in that universe, he doesn't fall off the cliff and they have a wonderful lifetime together. I'm not even going to go there. I know it's feasible. But the point is, in her mind's eye, it's real in her 95% and an acceptable emotional experience. She's using that to replace the horror of the disruption. So yes, you did a nice job with that. When people have questions about, is this creative solution viable? Did the client's subconscious accept it? It's not for the therapist to impose the solution and moral judgment. This isn't a moral issue. The subconscious doesn't operate in moral perception time. It operates in what does it need to get unstuck? Because the lie is that she's still grieving and stuck in a grief-stricken state with the death and loss and can't imagine what life could go forward and be if he had lived. And so we're getting around stuck from that space. So you see what I'm saying? I used to have qualms about, are we changing history? Are we manipulating history? Are we suggesting things that are unreal? No, we're not. We're just asking. So if she needed a solution that big to live out her whole life with this guy, the love was so strong that the only solution is to picture that fulfilled, more power to her.
Okay.
So I don't judge the solution mechanism. And that's a lesson you got with that one. Like, it's okay. But it leaves you feeling a little like, well, my client with the spina bifida said, oh, I'd like my child to grow up. And she's like, oh, she can't. I can't picture her going forward. Now, in this case, she could. In this memory, she said, I can't picture my child growing up. So what did I do for that? I said, oh, well, can we picture turning your child over to God? She said, I believe in Jesus. I said, let's picture turning your baby over to Jesus. And would you like to have a living picture of you and the baby and Jesus with your arms around each other all together? She's like, oh yeah, that would be great. Because I think she felt guilty that she'd done something wrong. She's like, no, Jesus says I didn't do anything wrong. This was just my baby, the soul's journey. But she couldn't picture that soul going forward in time. But she did create a living image as a very happy scene as a substitute. So you always want to end, if possible, on a living, dynamic, happy note to replace the horror of the scene and how it came about, right? And so you did that. So that was great. That's interesting. You know, sometimes I can't tell you what to do when a vortex shows up. Is it a positive vortex? But you did a nice job. That's what we do with multiples and with people with the association. Like, let's put it in a box, a lock box, golden box. Let's put it over there. Let's make sure you're safe. You could use a waterfall. Let's wash away your anxiety. Know you're safe and clear. Now, do we need to go back? Do you want to go back to that and see what that was about? So when she's safe enough, ready enough in the same session, often in a subsequent session, let's bring out the box. You want to unlock the box now. What's happening? Is the tornado? Yeah, it's there. It's not as big. I want to see what it is. I don't feel afraid of it. It's like, well, let's use your safe colors. You can always put your boundary color around you. Put your golden white light, silver white light of your boundary. If you could step into the vortex. And she went right to a memory. That was interesting. But it's like in the secret garden where happiness can abound, there was a vortex trying to pull her in that says, you know, happiness could have been very different. And it didn't occur. This guy died and suddenly he's walking. It's very interesting. The holographic space is always fascinating and instrumental when it shows us how people's minds layered and encoded memory, isn't it?
Yeah.
And you do a nice job just adapting and flexing, going with it. So that was good. I can't think of anything you could have done differently. You use caution, you use safety, you reinforce safety. So you could always go back to that. She had her safe scene, she had her colors. I can't think of anybody else may have any other suggestions, but I can't think of anything you could have done differently with that. Each client is different. You never know what they're going to, but that's interesting in a secret kind of, but it was the neighbor's sort of safeguarding kind of thing. That's interesting that she was over there in another place. So we don't always know where the metaphors come from. I think just honor them and treat them like you did as a sacred space, maintain safety and work with it. And I can't tell you how you're going to need to navigate that. Just the technique is sound. Go back to safety. If it gets stuck, reinforce safety. You can always do containment. Now, what David did was great. If there's a flashback, a fragment they're not able to deal with, don't want to deal with, can't get to it, you can put it in a golden box, highest frequency of light with a lock on it. You can plop an angel on top of the box if you need additional reinforcement. You know, you can have the box taken away by an angel and brought back when it's time to work on it. You know, Lynn Cargill talks about that, sending in the enhanced safe scene. As I said, send the box away, put it back in the vault. Put the box in your vault and then only open the vault or have an angel open the vault and bring it out very safely when you're ready to look at it. And then if you can't deal with it, put it back in the vault. A lot of people do EMDR or EFT, you know, tapping, you know, and reduce it, try to reduce it. But I'm like you, let's find out what this was. Like, oh, it's a guy that died when he went off the cliff. Well, what would you like to do with that? It's not complicated. I like to live my life with him. Picture that. Wow, let's run those colors to your body. So that was like a severe heartbreak that just reached no fulfillment, but she could holographically picture fulfillment in that. Whether it would have really happened or not, who knows? You know, it's like, got it.
You know, what was interesting is she had completely forgotten that relationship.
Wow.
It wasn't until after that she remembered that she was actually engaged that person. So,
oh my goodness,
jeez.
Well, she must have completely blocked. That's why she needed such a strong solution. It was so shocking that she completely repressed the memory of the guy. Wow. That's interesting. Yes, Miss Mary.
So I have another meeting in 6 minutes. Can I ask you the questions I need to get from you?
Oh, sure. Yeah, our time is, unless you, is it going to last very long? Do you want to call me after your meeting? We don't have to press
okay,
it.
Okay, I'll call you at, yeah, I left you a text. So I'll call you in an hour.
Okay. Yeah, cool. Yeah, sounds good. No problem. I'm up. It's only 7 o'clock here in Arizona. So, you know, we're good.
Okay, good.
Okay, sweetie. Thanks. We'll talk to you in an hour. Right, okay, cool. Thanks, Mary.
All right, bye.
Okay. Anybody else? Anything else going on? Any other questions? It's 7 o'clock. You're gluttons for fun here. What can I say? You're like the Energizer bunnies, HMR Energizer bunnies, just going and going. You're good. Anyway, proud of your work. Keep up the work. Keep doing. Take care of you. Things are lightening up somewhat now. Things are kind of stabilizing, calmer. Feels good. HMR feels good. We're going to really, Jerry Thomas is like 24/7. You're going to be doing trauma work for the next decades, you know, kind of thing. So prepare yourselves. We're going forward. And word's getting out there now. And we just really, it's enough of the vets dying daily. You know, it's ridiculous. We can stop this stuff. So we're going to get it out there. So thank you for your work. Your work is needed.
And the physicians dying from suicide.
Yeah.
That's where we're going pretty quickly, I think, to help healthcare workers.
Yeah. So, and you know, it may be that we do, you do a large group process where you ask for a couple of volunteers and they come up and work in front of the group. Cause is there one that's going to have a trauma that the others don't have, or it's very different. So it could be in a group, large group process where you have a couple of, when one person works, the whole group works. It's going to end up being an archetypal thing where we might have to do something like that. That's what I did when I did the IDAA, International Doctors of Alcoholics Anonymous. When I did that group in Reno 3 years ago, they invited me there and I asked for a volunteer and the woman came up and they thought she had been cued in advance and I'd never met her before, but the technique worked so perfectly and her neck and shoulder pain was all gone at the end of the reframe. And they were like, what the heck was that? How did you do that? Exactly. And it intrigued them. But, you know, so when one works, everybody works, they get the idea, at least they get the information. So we'll probably be doing some larger efforts like that, but to encourage people to take care of themselves and do their healing work, you know. Yeah, the physicians and the healthcare professionals are just so traumatized. My friend Bobby is a wound nurse. He's the only person in his entire hospital, I think, that hasn't gotten COVID. You know, everybody in his office, six workers in his own office, five of them have been diagnosed, and he keeps testing negative, 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 negative. So he's hanging in there, but it's tough. The healthcare the ones that not testing positive are just keep working. They're just working and working and like, oh my goodness, it just never ends. And their loads are increasing. So anyway, hopefully there'll be some respite from this as time goes on. All right, folks. Well, thank you. Mm-hmm. And we will talk to you all in a month. So hang in there. And if you're working on your certification, keep those documents coming to me. We'll get it done. All right.
Bye, everybody. Bye, everybody.
Okay. Thanks, bye, Jeanette. Bye. Okay. Bye, everybody.
Bye, everybody.
Anything you say, Brent?
I don't think so. I think we covered beforehand most of our topics, right? You're checking on the price thing for me, and I gave you the code to look at Mind Body.
Yeah.
So we can drop the shipping costs for the books. I'll be like Amazon free shipping. So
Karen, I have your information coming.
Okay, cool. All right, everybody. All right, thanks. Heather, you had a question? Heather.
I-